Yeah.
Hello, this is Bronson Fry with the Alaska Associated General Contractors Build Alaska podcast. Joined today by Christian Muntean with Vantage Consulting. How are you doing today, Christian?
I'm doing great, Bronson. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for making the time to join us. Really looking forward to getting into this, learning a little bit about your company and what you do. But to start, I'd like to know just a little about yourself. So where are you from?
I'm from Anchorage. I grew up in Anchorage, so this has been home for me.
Wonderful. Homegrown talent.
Yeah.
So you went to high school up here?
I did, yeah.
Graduated?
I went to Abilu Christian School, which is no longer around, but it was a little private school in town.
Right on. Yeah. So after high school, where did your travels take you?
Well, after high school, I ended up working, it's kind of a long story short, in international disaster relief and community development. So in that, I worked around Latin America, Africa, the Middle East, Asia, the Balkans, kind of a bunch of different places.
Wow, that sounds very interesting. What were some of the lessons you took away from those experiences working in remote areas in disaster relief?
I think the lessons that most closely relate to our conversation are that I worked in all kinds of projects. Most of the places I worked were either conflict zones, war zones, or disaster zones.
Wow.
And one of the things I saw is regardless of the how well-designed a project was or how well-funded a project was, its success had almost everything to do with the quality of leadership and the health of a team than it had to do on anything else. And so both for the teams that I was working with as well as our community partners. And so I started over the years, just started to become really passionate about and curious about what makes things work and how do you lead well, how do you manage well, how do you get a team to work together well. And it's a group of lessons in that, but that's started provoking that level of interest and curiosity in me on those topics.
Very interesting. So the quality of leadership and the quality of team life were focal points of your experiences working around the world.
Yeah, I just saw that that's what things succeed. That's what caused or prevented success more than almost anything else.
Gotcha.
Even in a war zone where you're literally concerned about your security on a regular basis,
mm-hmm.
The biggest issue in whether or not you'd be successful in your project is whether or not the project was led well and the team got along well.
Wow. So you learned those lessons and then eventually came back home here to Alaska.
Yeah.
And what did that lead you into next?
Well, I initially began with a small nonprofit, and our goal was to basically take those lessons that I had learned in the work that I was doing and help make them available to other nonprofits internationally, and basically consulting. And over time, that just grew into working with businesses and working with, so my clients now are kind of everything, nonprofits, businesses, governments, and I do that. So I help leaders succeed at what they're trying to do. I help them grow their organizations. I help them add value to their organizations, whether it's a for-profit trying to increase its profitability and its value, or whether I'm working with a nonprofit that wants to have impact in the community, or a government that's trying to figure out its policies or how to be more effective or efficient.
Very interesting. I'd like to know more about the business that you run. It's Vantage Consulting. So mm-hmm. What specifically does Vantage do?
The service that I provide for people is I mostly help leaders be more effective. So I do that around mm-hmm. with coaching a lot of times.
Okay.
I help a lot of organizations grow quickly or scale quickly. So I work with a lot of young organizations that are growing fast or organizations that stalled and they're restarting
mm-hmm.
Businesses and help them scale really quickly. And that there's a lot of significant changes that take place along the way, usually a lot of high need for new management, new systems, mm-hmm. new ways of doing things. And so I help people navigate that process so they can just do it fast. The other thing, just due to demographically, is over the last few years, I've started to notice more and more of my clients are older, and they're looking at either selling their businesses or they're looking for successors, someone to step into their shoes and take mm-hmm. over. And so working with exit strategies and succession has become a real major focus for what I'm doing as well.
I bet that you've seen a lot of that, particularly in the construction industry.
Oh, yeah. It's in every industry. I mean, right now in Alaska, according to the Small Business Administration, 75% of all small businesses are owned by baby boomers.
Wow.
And so, and most of those, the majority of those are looking at, or they're considering, or they're thinking about, they usually don't have a plan, but they're usually thinking about leaving their business maybe in the next 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We know about 80% of them don't have a plan for how to do that. But it's just, it's they call it the silver tsunami. It's, there's just an enormous amount of, this isn't just in Alaska, it's a national trend as well, but these numbers are specific to Alaska. But they roughly mirror the national numbers, which is, there's an enormous amount of people representing nationally about $10 trillion worth of business value, and that are getting ready to transition that, the leadership of that, to either new ownership or a successor of some kind. But there's very few people have prepared to do that well.
That is some pretty amazing numbers there.
Yeah.
I know that the average age of a construction worker is well into their 40s, and
right.
I suppose it stands to reason that with an aging workforce, you also have aging ownership.
Yeah. Is the average age of a construction worker or owner in their 40s?
No, a worker.
Oh, really?
Isn't that incredible?
That. Wow, that surprises me.
Well, it's funny because ever since I started my career in the early 2000s, I've been hearing next 10 to 15 years, you know, the majority of the workforce, you know, in the building trades is going to retire. And now it's 3 to 5 years, right?
Yeah.
What you're saying.
Yeah.
And it's happening. I mean, that's actually something that we're seeing. There's a big emphasis on workforce development across the country for that reason. Here at the AGC, it's a focus. In fact, I know you have spoken a couple times here at the AGC at our Lunch and Learns, which is a great opportunity for anyone listening to this to come and get a chance to listen to people on a variety of subjects. So keep your eyes and ears peeled for those Lunch and Learns. But what was your experience when you came here to the AGC to speak about your exit strategies? What did you see and hear in those meetings that was relevant?
Yeah, I mean, I spoke on a couple of topics. One was on exit strategy, some things to think about regarding that. And I spoke on how to attract and retain ideal employees, because I know that's a challenge for a lot of companies as well. But both of them are really great groups, and some of the more engaged audiences probably that I've spoken to, just in the sense of everybody seeming to be really interested and involved. I would say for both of the Lunch and Learns that I did, there was roughly 10 businesses represented. You know, there may be 15 people, so smaller groups that were there, but it was about 10 businesses maybe. And I noticed that they were almost all baby boomers, so they're reflecting the statistics I just gave in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
And for the when I talked about exit strategy, it maybe makes sense that I attracted more of people in that position.
Fair.
But for the other one, that's broadly applicable to all owners, and
of course
it was still the same demographic. It was still mostly baby boomers that were there.
And what do you think is the interest in these folks? Why would they be interested in your business? What is it that you're looking to help people do? Maybe they are part of this silver tsunami. I've never ever heard that before.
Yeah.
But someone, let's say they are a construction business owner. They're looking to maybe transition out, retire or what have you, or sell their business in the next few years. What is it that Vantage Consulting is going to be able to do for them?
Right. Well, what I can, for somebody that's looking at an exit, most businesses are pretty dramatically undervalued. And so what I can do, I mean, the simplest way to say it is I can usually take your average business and help multiply its value 300 to 500% within a handful of years.
Wow.
And as we were talking before the show, it's some of it's really not, it sounds dramatic and it is dramatic. The experience of that's dramatic. But when you look at what you actually do, it's not that dramatic. So it's like if you were going to sell a house, you're talking about painting it, mowing the lawn, doing a few things, fixing a few things up, and now you've added maybe $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 of value to a house. In a business, you can increase the value dramatically more just by doing some pretty basic maintenance things in the business that should be done anyways for a highly functioning, high-performing business, not necessarily growing revenues, not necessarily getting 500% more customers, but just changing the way the business operates and the way it's structured is typically what I focus on.
That sounds like it would be a tremendous value to someone looking to transition out or just at any point in their business.
Yeah, it'll have the same, the kinds of things that you would want to do to increase the value for an exit, for a strong sale, are the same things you would want to do to be able to hand off a sustainable business to a family member, to your management, if that's part of how you're thinking about it. It's the same things you would want to do if you wanted to stay in business another 15 years, but be able to take a two-month vacation a couple times a year and not have to be on call all the time, always there. It's the same approach, and it's basically just how do you structure a business so that it runs really well and doesn't need to be closely managed by you specifically.
Very interesting. So it's a lot of how can a business owner harvest their investment that they've made in their business.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of owners confuse profitability, how much money they're able to make at the end of the year, with value. And they're not the same thing. There's a relationship, but it's not the same thing. You can have a business where somebody is doing real well, they're living well, they're able to have nice things and take trips and just enjoy that or whatever that is for them. But when they come around to sell their business, it turns out it's not worth anything. It's not worth hardly anything. In fact, we know that this is so true that roughly 80% of all business owners will never sell their business right now. So of the 10 owners that I had in my lunch and learns, and in a given lunch and learn, 10 businesses, statistically, only two of them will sell their business.
Wow.
And so what I try to do is help the other eight increase the value of their business so that it is attractive to a buyer and that it's ready to be sold so that they can actually recoup as much value out of that as possible. And that's usually a significant, there's usually a significant growth or a difference between what it's currently valued at and what it could be valued at.
So it's really a matter of, is your business set up to be bought?
Yeah, yeah.
And I find particularly interesting what you mentioned, this concept between the difference between profitability and value. How would someone go about determining the difference between those two things?
Well, profitability, I mean, the short answer is the money that's left over at the end of the year.
Sure.
You know, or at the end of each month or whatever. And so that's going to be a certain amount. The value of a business is what someone's willing to pay for it. And the money that's left over at the end of the year, without getting into a lot of accounting stuff, if that's very dependent on an owner who is the person who writes the contracts, has all of the great relationships with the people who hire their company, who is the only one who really knows that special technique that can get jobs done in a third of the time, who, you know, there's all these ties, then that there's really not that much value. There's a company that I was recently talking to. It's a small business. They do about $1.5 million a year in revenue. They're hoping to sell their business in a few years for about $5 million or for $3 million. And I did an estimate of value on their business, and it's everything in their case is so owner dependent. They have very few employees, so their revenues are really high for the amount of employees that they have, but their estimate of value is really only about $150,000 because they really have nothing to sell because it's so dependent on them, and they're not selling themselves.
Interesting.
And so I worked with them to identify a strategy for four main things that they can do to help drive up the value of their business so that in 3 to 5 years they can get an amount closer to what they hope.
Interesting. So it sounds like what we're talking about is the difference between selling the job and selling the business.
Yeah, and that's very common, and particularly in smaller businesses, that's very common where the owner is still working in the business, still provides the service, his or herself. And when that's the case, I mean, if you love what you do and you're passionate about it and you're a craftsman and you really want to be involved in it, that's great. I mean, I like that about my business as well, as I get to do it and I get to be in it. Unfortunately, nobody's going to buy me, so I can't sell my business very easily. It's harder.
Sure.
And it's the same thing regardless of what you do in construction, that if you're in the business and all you do is sell a job, then all you can really do is, I mean, it's not worth a whole lot. It's worth maybe your pay that year. Whereas what you really right. want to do is you want to be able to sell a business, something that's generating a lot of revenue for somebody who may or may not want to do the job.
Right.
Now, they may want to do the job, but then you've limited your options of who you can sell it to significantly.
Right.
And so so that's kind of the main difference. I mean, a lot of companies, and they should be thinking about it right now, a lot of your audience should be thinking about, there's many Alaska Native corporations who are interested in buying companies right now. Acquisition is a major growth strategy for many Native corporations. And the more that your company is set up to be attractive to them, and the easier it is for them to run your company without having to have their CEO step in and actually do the work, the more likely they are to buy it and for it to actually be sustainable and to keep running into the future and to maintain your legacy.
Right.
That's often an exit strategy that's uniquely Alaskan, is to sell to a Native corporation, which is a great strategy and people should pursue.
Mm-hmm.
But to be attractive in that way. Also, many of those have failed.
Sure.
In fact, the majority of them have failed, unfortunately. And it's oftentimes because a mistake's made on both sides, but oftentimes they're not set up to run well.
Right. There's no
without the owner being present.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So, sounds like there's two points here that would need to be noted. One is those transitioning out of the business, so the seller.
Yeah.
Then you've got those transitioning into the business, which
right.
would be the buyer.
Yeah.
Are you in Vantage Consulting able to advise both parties in this?
Yeah, I can work with either side of that. And in fact, I do work with a number of clients that are looking at buying. And so I help them evaluate the
okay.
the value of a purchase, whether they're internal, if it's internal management or family, but just looking at how would you set up a good transaction.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, a lot of my clients have multiple owners or they're turning ownership
sure.
over internally. And a lot of specifically what I'm working with oftentimes is how do you help partners buy someone else's shares out when perhaps they've become worth a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
When they started the business, they weren't worth that much.
Right.
And so how do you help design those transactions so they're feasible, so that the person leaving actually gets the payout they're looking for and deserve,
mm-hmm.
but the people who are being asked to make that buy can do that. But also if it's someone that's completely external, like a Native corporation or private equity or just another external investor or another company that's in an associated business, I can help them think through is this likely to be a valuable and profitable business to us? Right now, we know nationally, depending on the research that you look at, but roughly about 65% of acquisitions fail.
Right.
And it's usually because people pay too much for them, and they usually underestimate the amount of work that it's going to take
mm-hmm.
to manage them and to run them. And so, however, I believe, and this is just me speculating based off of my experience,
mm-hmm.
but I believe that as there's so many businesses coming to the market right now, really the onus is going to be on the sellers to have a really good business, because it's going to be tough to be the prettiest business in the room because there's so many of them around.
Oh, yeah.
That it's really a buyer's market.
Makes sense with so many aging owners.
So many, yeah. And
right.
so what's going to happen is it really... The owners who are considering selling in the near future, foreseeable future, really need to start thinking about that, because there's going to be so much competition around them and not really as many buyers.
Yeah.
There'll be plenty of buyers, but it's not going to be, or there'll be a lot of buyers, but there's not as many as there are sellers.
I can see that being particularly true in the construction industry.
Yeah, could be.
That's very interesting. Now, there's a lot of different ways this can go when somebody's looking to exit out of their, say, construction business. there could be partners involved and stuff.
Yeah.
But you've also, it seems like you've got two primary ones. One is being purchased by a bigger business. And oftentimes you'll see folks wanting to transition their business to their child, their son or their daughter.
Yeah.
And but still cash out, still get
yeah.
you know that
yeah.
return on the investment that they've made over their
yeah.
career and their business. So, how do you approach those two different scenarios where you've got the purchase of by a bigger company on one side, but then maybe a different scenario where you've got a son or daughter trying to take over a business?
Right, and there's a third one that's also very common,
oh, tell
which
me.
Is a sale to management,
okay,
or to employees.
Yes, oh, that makes
so that's
sense.
Also very very common where
sure.
people have had. You know, fantastic employees who've been around for 15, 20 years, and,
yeah.
and they want to stay in it for another 15 years, and so they'll sell to them.
Good, good. Yeah, please speak about those differences.
The sale. Well, I mean, really, most of it's the same.
Okay.
The difference mostly comes into place when you're designing the actual transaction at the end. But what's a good business to hand over to a family member or to your management team? Or to sell to an outside buyer really is the same thing. It's a very well-running business
okay.
that has very clear systems in place, that has good leadership in place, that has good relationships, a diverse customer base, that doesn't have single points of failure in terms of its relationships with vendors or customers.
Okay.
And there's a number of components that you look at. But it's basically a well-run, well-structured business that is also not dependent on the owner
mm-hmm.
to be well run,
gotcha.
To be tightly managing it. And so I can tell a business is really ready to sell when an owner is able to step away for a month at a time and it keeps running well and even is growing in that owner's absence. That's
yeah.
It's a very loose indicator, but it
sure.
tells you that they've got something figured out.
Yeah.
And the challenge is many owners really love the work and want to be involved in it, or they find a huge sense of identity or pride in being involved in it, or things being so dependent on them. But unfortunately, that undervalues the business. And if you're trying to hand that off, if you're trying to sell to an outside owner, they're more likely to just say no.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wanting to pass it off to a manager or a son or a daughter or whomever, or a cousin or something like that, what tends to happen is you get these really complicated and enmeshed, basically end up in some kind of conflict is frequently what happens because the business doesn't actually hand over that well because it's so dependent on dad or mom or whoever was running it.
Mm-hmm.
And then oftentimes the way they do the deal at the end, it becomes really complicated and I've spent a lot of time. Part of what I do is I'm a mediator.
Okay.
And so I've spent a lot of time. Actually, how I started to get into this is businesses that were going through the family-owned businesses that were going through that transition were fighting with each other and
sure.
they loved each other. They had great relationships or normal complicated relationships.
yeah.
But now they're trying to go through this thing. You know, the parents are really trying to look out for their kids, but because they didn't structure things in a way to keep things clean and easy to move over in terms of ownership. It just, I call it deferred leadership. Just like deferred maintenance on a building or a car, you're going to pay for it eventually.
Mm-hmm.
You have deferred ownership or deferred leadership costs, which eventually show usually in the transaction process. And the main difference, I would say, between family and transitioning to family or management is that there's this ongoing relational dynamic which
mm-hmm.
has a higher value and there's a higher emotional component to it. If you're just selling to someone outside, then those are not really there usually.
Right. Very, very interesting. Do you think, given everything you just said, that it's easier working with a bigger company or a smaller company? It seems like it'd almost be easier working with a bigger company.
You mean to be bought by a bigger company or
to sell? If you're going to have an exit strategy, it seems, and it kind of strikes me as almost counterintuitive, but because the role of the owner is so important oftentimes in a smaller business, maybe in construction or even working in the
right.
field or something, in your experience, I mean, I'm sure they both have their challenges. What do you see as far as the differences in creating an exit strategy for a smaller business versus a really large one?
Yeah, so this is very rough, and there's squishiness in these numbers, but sure. Roughly businesses that I target are usually making between 5 to about 20 or 50 million, somewhere in that range.
Okay.
Typically, when they get larger than that, they typically have multiple owners. It's not the case. Sometimes you still have just a single owner, but usually you have multiple partners, and there's usually a more sophisticated process for changing ownership, and usually it's a revolving ownership at that point. It's not a big ownership transition event, although that still can happen. But typically they'd have more of those structures in place, or they wouldn't be operating at that level anyways. Businesses that are under 5 million, oftentimes they're totally dependent on the owner because the owner's providing the service, his or herself, in many cases.
Sure.
So I find that these businesses in this 5 to 20 or 50 million dollar range are ones where they've usually grown enough where the owners start to understand that they need to not directly provide all the service themselves.
Right.
And they have some level of understanding around that. Smaller businesses can understand that as well and do that, but they often haven't yet. And so I don't know if I'm answering your question,
yeah.
But what I'm finding is that smaller, very small businesses often have owners who strongly identify with not just being the owner, but also the provider of the service in the business.
Yes.
The biggest issue ultimately in a sale of a business mm-hmm. has less to do with the business itself and more to do with the psychology of the owner.
And very interesting.
The willingness of the owner to be comfortable with his or herself, to be honest, talking about exit strategies with owners is often like talking about long-term care plans with your parents.
Yeah,
I mean, it people feel like like it's the end of their identity, end of their life.
Oh,
now, the reality is most of these owners that do sell are actually statistically going to go out and buy a new business.
Oh, very interesting.
Which is really interesting. Yeah, most of them they're ready to be done with this one. They're 60 years old. They're like, I've been painting for the last 25 uh-huh. years, and I'm done with it. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm going to sell the business, and then they cash out and they make a couple million bucks, and they realize, well, I don't want that money just to sit in the bank. And I've always been kind of curious about whatever,
right?
And so they buy whatever.
Very interesting.
Now they're not going to be in whatever for another 20, 30 years. They'll probably only be in it for about 5 years or something. And so there's an interesting dynamic that's happening where there's kind of almost an echo effect with buying and selling. And that's another, for the very few owners who have set themselves up to sell, they find themselves now in positions of being investors and being able to do this. And so that's a neat opportunity for them. But most baby boomers are going to be, we're kind of at this cultural transition where people used to live until about 70-something, and then that was it. But
right.
Now people are living easily until their 80s or 90s or whatever. And so
right.
You retire in your 60s, and
you've still got
a whole lot of life left. And
yeah.
Most baby boomers are saying, I still want to do something with that.
Right.
And it's more fun to say, I'm the owner of this, and I'm the president of that, than I used to be. And so that's a struggle. So the first thing I do with a lot of owners is help them think about what do they want in their life for the next chapter of their life. And I find that if they can't answer that, it's really hard to get them to move through or prepare for their business to sell,
sure.
Especially for these small businesses.
Yeah, I can imagine. So that's really interesting. You have a wealth of information and a wealth of knowledge, and I think I wouldn't have thought to reach out to a consulting firm like yours if I was in a position like that until having sat down with you today
okay.
and talked about this. I can really, really see the value of what the service that you offer. So if folks wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do that? What's the best way to procure your services?
Yeah, well, anybody can call me and just talk and not worry about getting a bill, so they can figure out if there's a way that I can help them and if there's a
okay.
benefit in a relationship. But they can reach me at christianmuntean.com, christianmuntean.com.
Okay.
Or my phone number is 522-7200, 907-522-7200. And you can feel free to reach out to me either way. And I'd be happy to see if there's a way I can help you.
Well, I think you probably will have a lot of interested listeners in this podcast, and whether they're looking at getting into the industry or buying a construction business or transitioning out of one. So they can find you on your website. That's Christian Muntean, MUNTEAN.com, or your phone number, 907-522-7200. Have sincerely enjoyed this today,
yeah,
and I really appreciate your time. I would like to invite you back sometime to talk about how to attract and retain quality employees. We didn't get a chance to get into that today. I was kind of fascinated talking about the exit strategies, but really do appreciate your time and, like I said, a wealth of information. Really want to say thank you.
Yeah, thanks. It was fun. Be happy to come back.
So, Christian, is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up today?
Yeah, I'd like to offer a free resource if there's anyone who's interested in seeing how ready they are for an exit strategy or for selling their business. If they just go to christianmuntean.com/exit planning checklist, they'll be able to download that there.
Outstanding. Give people a basic idea of how close they are to having their ducks in a row here for exit strategy.
Yep.
All right. Outstanding. Thanks so much.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you for listening to the Alaska Works Podcast, brought to you by a generous contribution from the Construction Industry Progress Fund and the Associated General Contractors of Alaska.